ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Moscow's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
Your gut is filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not. Your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run. But your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
Listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. 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 Radio!
They can be a bit of inspiration in my radio career.
You must be some kind of a kook.
Thank you.
It's hard out of here for him.
All right, listen up, y'all.
Who bunch of a-holes?
Where are you going to go? Where are you going to run? Where are you going to hide?
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention?
Your systems are all closed.
Hashtag's confused, dude.
Hooked on a feeling. I'm high on believing that you're in love with me.
I'm not good enough for life.
Central, 404 Mountain, 304 West Coast, 604 East Coast, Iceland. Happy Tuesday, Australia. Welcome, friends, to the... That's probably copyrighted by Jim Nance. Welcome, folks, to the award-winning, but yet to be nominated, this, that, and the other, heard every Monday and Thursday. Here on Revolution Radio, located at revolution.radio, common spelling in your favorite internet browser, where we are 100% listener supported. Here's a couple ways to support the station. First, Patreon. Become a patron. This monthly support option is available via the donations page. Actually, everything's available there. and is also detailed on the homepage itself at revolution.radio, or to simply go to patreon.com/revolutionradio, one word. You can drop us a letter in the mail, full address, make its way to Allen, Michigan. Never been here. It's nice. See, Central, that checks and money orders being sent from outside the U.S. are in U.S. currency. We also have a credit union online banking system called AutoBooks. Don't worry, we won't sell anything. Completely safe. You can make a direct donation using your credit or debit card, a one-time or recurring monthly direct payment. We have cryptocurrency options in the donor box. You can also advertise. All the information you need is at revolution.radio. Click on the donations tab, top of the homepage, and you will find the numerous ways to support us financially. I live in Great Britain and used to spend much of my time in North Wales. I'll keep the exact location anonymous for personal reasons. Once again, folks, when people post these UFO, Bigfoot, lizard people type stories, every time they go silent, you wonder. Anyway, this area was heavily wooded for miles and deep in the valleys. It had a spot where a natural waterfall was. I used to come to this spot to enjoy the peace and quiet and camp out overnight. You went to this spot to do a little puff, puff, pass, pass. Don't lie. That's all right. This area was off limits to the public due to its dangerous rock falls, I was led to believe. But you're just very comfortable going there. I also heard that in the past people used to come down there to be married in some nearby caves. And sure enough, there was a stone altar carved into the rock in one of the caves. Well, okay. Apparently, though this custom had stopped about 100 years back due to the unsafe nature of geology and the fact a woman had died after falling down a ravine, and indeed this area is rumored to be haunted. I'm certain it was, and I'm actually fairly certain that none of that is true. It's probably just a cave, and what you thought was an altar was just a natural formation. Continuing. I would, from time to time, this guy does a lot of things from time to time, although alone, feel like I was being watched. So we already have the makings of a very interesting story. I'm in a secluded area that's off limits to the public. I just happened to come here for some peace and quiet, and I'll camp overnight, even though it's haunted. You know how I know that? Well, some people told me. Anyway, I'm here alone, and many of those times, I feel like I'm being watched. I tend to think that anybody wandering in the woods or any place alone, their imagination gets the best of them, and they feel like they're being watched. This never bothered me during the daylight hours, but at night this feeling was so intense, I felt compelled to keep the fire lit all night. Other instances there included tree knocking, which at first I thought to be chopping noises. This happened often during the day, although I could never find any sign of any woodsmen, no matter how hard I searched. It strangely happened twice one night also. Another night, I heard what I thought was somebody making owl noises at me. It sounded like a human was making the sound, not quite like a real owl would sound. Oh, okay. Perhaps it was just an owl, and perhaps what you heard the knocking was a woodpecker. Again, plausible explanations, right? For your imagination running away with you and you just jumping at shadows at night. The last night I spent in the area, I was camped down by the stream and heard what I at first took to be a woman's scream. Still, it sounded off somehow and I knew nobody could have been there other than myself. Oh, are you certain of that? That almost bellowed through me, this sound. Sure, it could have been an animal, but clearly nothing I had ever encountered before. Or you mean heard before? Heard. You said you heard a scream. Encountering is different. Before the night was out, I had a huge rock thrown in my direction, and again, that ear-splitting scream. I'm convinced now that you can basically write anything and somebody on a paranormal-based, cryptic-based website will post it for you. I never went back there after these experiences and probably never will. What I felt and heard haunted me for years. I rationalized the sounds to perhaps be ghosts and worried that I was a victim of some sort of haunting. But after hearing the similarities between what I expected and what others experienced due to the possible Bigfoot encounters, perhaps such a creature lives in remote areas of UK also. DJ. Oh my gosh. I don't know. I had no clue that Carl Weathers was dead or died yesterday. I mean, on the 1st of February. No clue whatsoever. I had no clue. None whatsoever. Here's a nice story from the Hollywood Reporter. No clue Carl Weathers was dead. Died this past Friday at 76. Rocky Balboa himself, Stallone, took a moment to pay tribute to his co-star Carl Weathers, who died Thursday, of last week, in his sleep at 76. No clue. And apparently, I didn't know this, Dateline February 3rd, Carl Weathers' Super Bowl ad being adjusted following his death. Carl Weathers' FanDuel Super Bowl ad is being adjusted following the actor's passing. The online sports gambling platform released a sneak peek in January of their ad starring former NFL tight end Rob Gronkowski, which featured a cameo from the Rocky star. Well, that's unfortunate. Apparently he died in his sleep at his home, according to his manager. Sad. Did not know that. Had no clue. Didn't even know he was sick. Well, last show I saw him in was The Mandalorian or something. That's too bad. I always like Carl Weathers in Predator. Dylan. Got you punching too many pencils, Dylan. That's too bad. BFRO.com. Submitted by witness, October 5th, 2023. Large bipedal figure seen by pheasant hunter on public hunting land in Chickwaqua Bottoms Greenbelt near Bondurant. This is in Iowa, Polk County, just south of Minnesota. The observation. I was pheasant hunting with my dog in the public hunting area that bordered the South Skunk River and the diagonal highway that leads to Marshalltown, Iowa. We had left a large stand of big blue stem grass, and were on top of a large irrigation canal that had a service road next to it. Because of the service road, we were elevated above the surrounding fields. My dog, who was even-tempered, started growling and barking towards a tree line about 150 yards away. This was very unusual for him, especially since he acted aggressive towards me. He and I were long-distance running and hunting partners for many years. Once I got him under control, I noticed a large, dark figure that was taller than the big blue stem grass moving toward the tree line, then disappeared into the trees. No one else. I did not return for some time after the event. Other witnesses, just my dog. Your dog isn't a witness. We're hunting pheasants. Other stories? Of course there are other stories. Some years later, I heard through other hunters of strange occurrences and sightings in the area, I believe in the early 2000s. Now, mind you, this person submitted this story Thursday, October 5th, 2023. The year this occurred was 1997. 26 years ago, my friends. 26 years ago. November, late 20s. I don't know what date this occurred. Again, these people submit these stories, and they're just weird. It's too far gone. It's too far gone to list a story, and I'm tired of it. Here's a little dating advice for you. If you suspect someone's checking you out, yawn. If they yawn back, yawning is visually contagious. I don't know. It seems like a game to me. Just walk up and go, hi. Give them the nod. Say, hey, how you doing? You want to come over for a sarsaparilla? How about a nice coffee? apparently, if you have cheap vodka and you want to make it taste better, some say run it through a Brita water filter pitcher, and it'll clean out more impurities. So what was once a $9.99 liter of vodka is now $49.99. And if you are drinking too much vodka and you happen to throw up, they suggest that you put coffee grounds on it first. Not only will it take away the smell, but it dehydrates it, sucks a little liquid out, then you can just sweep it up. I threw up in high school once, and that stuff they put on it just made it even smell worse. And then I think the dude threw up next to me, and he was in the nurse's office right next to them. For you cell phone, if you're at a party and you want somebody's number, take a picture with them and then ask them to send it to you. Now, first you got to make sure this person wants to take a picture with you and then find out if they actually want to send you it to give them their number. We haven't done this in a while, folks. An oldie but goodie. A fresh new Conversations with Mario. Back in the summer of 2010, I posted a poll that posed the question, what is Bigfoot? To my surprise, 26% of the 574 participants answered they believed this creature was interdimensional and/or extraterrestrial. Nikki. I pose the same my question surprise. To you. What is Bigfoot?
Well, I like the answer. Interdimensional, is that what it said?
Interdimensional, yes.
What does that mean?
It means that Bigfoot has the ability to defy all known physics and can go from dimension to dimension.
Oh.
Yeah, just appear and disappear at will.
Okay.
And or is extraterrestrial. My chiropractor thinks that Bigfoot perhaps has a relationship with the aliens, and the aliens just fly Bigfoot around.
That's your chiropractor's theory on this?
Yeah, yeah. These are all the discussions that we have when I'm getting my back cracked.
Interesting.
He also claims that he's seen a UFO. Him and four of his fishing buddy years ago, decades ago.
Did they report it?
No. And he wasn't able to give me a location, but somewhere in northern Minnesota. Then he even went on as far as to say that one of the guys, they brought it up once when they were drinking, and the guy started crying. So.
It's traumatic.
It is traumatic. Nikki, do you think we're at a point where people are open-minded enough to accept that a hominid-type species may not be of our time or planet?
I think we're there. Maybe. It might be. Where do you I would like to gather some more information as to where you found this article and, you know, who wrote this.
Open up your browser and type in, I could just go to, here it is. Go to this, fro.net, bfro.net, the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization website.
Okay.
I'm surprised that you don't spend most of your day doing, looking at this. I mean, look at that. Are you there yet?
I'm there.
Yeah, do you see it?
I see it. Have you heard these sounds?
Now, I want you to play the sounds, and you tell me what they are. Oh, wait, hang on a minute. Click on it. Where's the...
Ooh. There's different ones.
Yeah, so scroll down to the bottom right-hand side. The gibbon sounds. White-handed gibbon song and calls.
So this is a monkey, though.
Apparently this is Bigfoot. Oh no, this is the gibbon sound. This is a monkey sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. But gibbons are related to orangutans, an ancient Gigantopithecus.
Okay, but why? So what is the point of these sounds?
Because young gigantos probably made sounds similar to gibbons today. And if descendants of gigantos are around today, or they are similar, offshoot of the gibbon or gigantos lineage, you would expect to hear calls similar to that. So when people record sounds in the woods of not quite gibbon, not quite we don't know, perhaps it is Bigfoot, because these MFers make broad leaps regarding what they think are recorded Bigfoot sounds.
Interesting. I mean, it's interesting that this is like a website.
It is.
Reports added recently.
Look on that.
Yeah, that's nice. Polk County. That seems good.
Can you pronounce the name of the parish in June 2023? it is not nacho cheese. It is Natchitoches.
How to say it in a way. I'm so sorry. I know you love this. Hysterical.
But a class A sighting is classified as somebody who has seen Bigfoot. A class B is we heard some sounds, some knocking, et cetera. Now, if you could, I want you just to click on that report number 76049, because this is official.
76049, where
I'm sorry, just click on the nacho cheese sighting.
Okay.
So apparently this is, now I've emailed these people and asked them for their huge data set, and they were going to charge me some money. But apparently, I think this is the 76,049th report. Now, Eddie Waitley submitted this back in June. So this happened recently, back this summer. Sometimes if you look on the reports, they were submitted, say, February of 2024, but the incident occurred back, 2010. So I'm not quite sure why these people wait so long. But it gives you all this cool information, and then you get the story. Look, scroll down. Look at the old guys on the dirt road where he said he saw look, he's got his overalls on. He seems like a real Bigfoot dude.
Yeah.
That's where he saw him. Mm-hmm. Look into the woods. That's where Bigfoot was.
And so they're just showing us the ground, because that makes the difference. Yeah. Okay.
And the big Sasquatch sighting, Class A daylight, right there where the big arrow is.
Interesting. I mean, I love that.
These people are serious.
Well, I think that you might be more serious than you let on.
Again, like I tell people, I'm not saying I don't believe in Bigfoot. I just don't believe in what these people claim they've seen. Where is the, is the expedition over? Oh my gosh. There was a link here a while ago should we call them? Should we call BFRO and see if they want to talk to us? No. There used to be a link called, an expedition, and you can, pay $500 to go on an expedition and wander through the woods. However, you cannot bring a gun, but you can bring a machete. So,
in case you can't bring dogs,
in case you want to. These are some things that I think you should know about.
I should probably spend a little more time here.
You should. I think you should. I think maybe you should. Maybe tonight when you get home, you should just sit down and go, hey. Listen, family, mom's going to spend some time on her laptop tonight. And I want you just to go through this page and look at all these reported sightings.
And how often do you check this information?
Every day.
So this is just like part of your routine.
Every day I go there. Now, if you really want to get more detailed, I have often talked to you about Sasquatch Chronicles, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I think I've read a couple... Yep. Really insightful articles that have been sent to me from there.
There's the link. So now it's a permanent record here. Sasquatch Chronicles, where you can listen to all the juiciness of Sasquatch.
All I the can't
juiciness
wait.
Of life. What all did that woman? What did that woman say to me? The juice. I want you to read me the text I sent you.
I can't read it. Well, because I'm walking out of my office, so I don't have it on my phone. Bye. Oh. See you later. I don't remember. I have it.
All the juiciness of life.
It's not like, it's like, I think you've made it into the juiciness of life, which makes it even better. But I think it was like I don't remember now. And it has to be in context, because when you read it, it's like funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's, so 5% now. What I think prior to me learning about her clients, she sent me a picture of her on a boat.
And then I
zoomed in. And I went, oh, who are the two, you know, elderly people in your sunglasses? Because I see the reflection. She goes, oh, those are friends of mine. And I went, this doesn't make any sense. You're traveling here from, I think, Colorado. She said she lived. You're staying up here for a month with some friends at somebody's cabin. This seems really fishy. I do believe she may have been what some categorize as a companion.
Maybe a lady of the night.
Lady of the night for the elderly couple, which, again, you know, you do you, you know, but.
Well, and hey, just be upfront about it.
Yeah, just say, look, I like to provide my companionship to what's the language they use? Generous men.
But because she said she had clients of all walks of life, male, yes. Female.
There was a rancher in South Dakota, right?
Yep, there was like a Fortune 500.
Right.
Something.
There was some lady out in South Carolina, I believe.
Yeah, and she was just helping them work through things.
Yeah. Yeah. How does that?
I mean, she said it. She said what she did very clearly without saying what she did. Right?
Like, and then she tried to flip it around and make me appear as if I was being disrespectful. Because didn't I send you the screenshot of me specifically asking her what her job was? And she said, oh, it's so difficult to describe.
Yeah. And then she went on, and that's when she was like, best describe as an introvert, extrovert.
Yes. And I use geometry and math.
Hold on.
Are you
calling me on the other phone?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. I thought you were calling on my other.
No.
Like the Zoom. No, I really need to look for it now, but I'm walking.
Because she uses geometry and math.
She uses geometry and math to see what her clients need. And then she was like, it's really hard to explain. Or maybe you said, yeah, what is it you do? And she's like, I thought I was clear.
Yeah, yeah. Then she got like, sassy.
Yeah. Yeah, clear as mud there, honey.
She didn't like being challenged. Oh.
Which is not going to work well for you.
No, because I think I even will. And I said, well, look, why don't we find, because I was trying to find a mid spot just to go somewhere for lunch. So we can meet for a drink. And I went, no, I'm not driving that far and having a beverage because no. And then she said, but I don't think she drove up there. No, she rented a car. And I said, well, why don't you just swing on by when you come by? And there was some hammering and hawing and she found excuses. But then we just sort of stopped talking. Because
it's really unfortunate. I was kind of hoping you were going to push that one.
Yeah, yeah. We stopped talking because I figured out she was a lady of the night, and I don't, I don't pay and I don't punk, as they say in the business.
Well, if nothing else, it was great conversation.
What's more interesting is you still to this day wanted me to take one for the team. You wanted me basically just to let's just go ahead and say it, whore myself out, so you could have interesting things to talk with me about.
I wouldn't have gone that far, but I really would have enjoyed to been like a little mouse in the corner while watching this like go down. I would just really love to see the dynamic of you meeting her in person, and how would that look? I think it would be hysterical.
Do you think maybe what I should have done is said, listen, Nikki, I'm meeting whatever her name was at this place. You know, would you mind kind of sitting in the corner and just having some unsweetened iced teas and a salad? I'll buy your meal just so, you know, you can take photographs and have evidence that, you know, that in case this chick tries to kill you or something.
Yeah, I would have been there.
Did I ever tell you the time I met somebody years ago? And there's a woman sitting in a booth, and I said, do you know who she is? And she goes, why? And I said, well, because she keeps staring over here at us. She goes, oh, no, no, she's my friend, and I just, you know, invite her on the first dates, you know, just to make sure I'm safe. And I went, okay, I get that, but that's kind of why I wanted to meet you in a public place in the middle of the day. It was very weird. And like, I felt uncomfortable for her. She's
well,
over there
and then
sitting.
I'm sure you felt uncomfortable then because you're like, now I feel like I can't like really conversate because I don't know. Yeah, that would be awkward.
Right.
I would never admit that. Like, I'd be like, I have no fucking clue who that person is. Why are they looking at us?
Yeah, because she was looking over at me and then she goes, oh, no.
Yeah, and
just...
then I would have sent my friend a text under the table and been like, stop freaking looking. He's catching on.
Yeah, he's catching on. I would have wrote, look, bitch, he knows. No, leave.
Things are fine. He doesn't seem too much like a serial killer.
I think
we got this. I know, it is interesting. Because you're like, I'm asking you to meet at a public place in the middle of the afternoon.
For just coffee or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and most people would drop a pin, right? Like, you drop a pin to your friend and you're like,
right.
I'm meeting up with this person. Like,
yeah.
If you don't hear from me in an hour, like, check with the wait staff and see what happened.
I mean, I've had people reply text messages that go, hey, I get it. No big deal. You want to take a phone call? That's fine. I said, you know, I get it. You got to be safe.
I love the phone call. Like, oh, sorry. There's a tragedy at home. I got to go. And then you're like,
you don't got to go.
Just fucking tell me.
Just tell me you got to leave.
You know what? Or just be like, I don't feel it.
This ain't working out for me.
I'm not vibing. I'm just out.
Like, right.
And we're having fun. You don't like me, I don't like you. It's good.
Yeah, should we finish the meal and talk about people?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Like, if anything, can we just sit here and bitch about, like, the wait staff? I don't know, anything.
Did I tell you one time that I met somebody and I could not figure out why she never smiled until she smiled?
What happened?
She had some jacked up teeth.
Oh, that's.
I mean, almost the point where I felt bad for her. But
that's
they're also brown and stained. And I thought, well, you can at least go to the dentist.
Oh.
You know.
I mean, it's one thing to have jacked up teeth, but if they're not clean.
Yeah.
That's a real turn off right there.
That's a no-no, man.
That's, yeah. Like, if you can't take care of your mouth, what else are you not taking care
of?
Yeah,
exactly.
You know,
swamp ass.
Nasty. Absolutely. Yep.
Nasty.
For
people.
Sure.
Toe jam. Nasty people. Seriously.
There's some interesting people.
Did you hear me sneeze?
No.
I quickly paused the mic. That was nice of me.
That's nice. I would have just sneezed right in your ear.
Well, listen, so 5%, right? I got the Sasquatch obsession. I want to know what your obsession is. I want to know if you like UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, lizard people.
No, I don't know that I have an obsession. There's nothing that I'm, like, drawn to that I can think of.
I don't believe you.
I've never been, like, a fangirl or anything, like, where I loved a band so much or a group that I, like, fangirled over. I've never been obsessive about stuff like that.
Are you excited about Taylor Swift and her route from Tokyo to Las Vegas for the Super Bowl?
No. My daughter is. Very much. Like, my daughter lost her mind last night that Taylor Swift's coming out with a new album.
Oh. Well, from Deadline, a Japan embassy assures fans Taylor Swift can get from Tokyo to Super Bowl 2024 in Las Vegas.
Oh.
I mean, it's a 12-hour flight and a 17-hour time difference.
As long as she can make it.
Yeah, so she departs Tokyo in the evening after her concert. She should comfortably arrive in Las Vegas before the Super Bowl begins. Well, that's just great.
Like, does she want to do that? I mean, why is everybody so obsessed? Who cares if she shows up or not? I know it's a big deal for her boyfriend, but, like, if her boyfriend doesn't understand she's in fucking Tokyo the night before and she might need some sleep, well, then maybe she should find a new man.
No. She's going to go because I read somebody told me about how the ratings online spike every time they show Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. There's like an actual... Yeah. We just got, well, you're not on any of those bounce lists, but there's somebody that's like affiliated with FCSU has been doing a, I don't know, there's like a course, like a free course you can take about the Taylor Swift Kelce effect.
Is Taylor Swift appropriate for children?
Yeah, no. I mean,
her songs have more sexual inclination with curse words, so I would not recommend them for children. Doesn't she write a song about all of her Taylor Swift's past boyfriends? Who has she dated?
A good amount.
Like, why did she break up with him?
I don't know. I think they want different things. This last guy she broke up with before she started dating Travis, they were together for a good handful of years, and she, I think, wanted maybe more settling down, family, that kind of stuff in the future, not like today. And he was like, no, not my thing. So I think they went separate ways because they just didn't want the same thing. But we're gonna find out soon what happened, because she's gonna release her album, and all of her albums are about her exes, and then we get to get the dirty whatever.
Well, it says, who did Taylor Swift date in order? From July... Oh, my gosh. Let's look at this. Hang on now. I mean, she's... Okay, so it's got... In July 2008 to October 2008, Joe Jonas. March 09 to April 09, Lucas Till. Who's Lucas Till?
No fucking clue.
Fall 2009, Kalis Lautner. That was a dude from Twilight. December 09 to February 2010, so just 2 months, John Mayer.
Oh, yeah, I knew about that. That's gross.
She dated Jake Gyllenhaal for about 3 months. July 2012 to August 2012, Connor Kennedy. I don't know who that is. She dated Harry Styles for about less than a year. Calvin Harris. She dated Tom Hiddleston for 4 months. Who's Joe Alwyn? I don't know.
Alwyn, that's the one that she dated the longest.
It's 5 years, 6 years.
Yeah.
What happened there? Why'd they break up?
Well, he's the one that didn't want to like have the babies, I think.
But look how, but she broke up with him in April of 2003. Then she quickly started dating Maddie Healy in May of 2023, a month later.
Yeah.
And then she broke up with him in June. Then she started quickly dating Travis Kelce, July 2023.
Mm-hmm.
She moves quickly. She doesn't have any time to heal.
Well, she obviously doesn't like to be alone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a red flag. If I'm a dude, I mean, I'm sure most dudes are like, fuck it, who cares? It's Taylor Swift. But if you want the long-term deal...
I mean, I really don't care who she dated, but I mean, this is just... Were you smoking the heaters?
I'm
yes,
choking.
Longest actor, Joe Alwyn. Alwyn.
Alwyn.
Oh, Alwyn. Glad you know these things.
I do.
So she didn't want the kids, or he wanted the kids?
I think he didn't want the kids, or the marriage and the family and the whole thing. I think she wants to, like, settle down and start a family.
Swifties have no problem going back to December, as Taylor Lautner has been deemed Taylor Swift's best ex by pop superstars fans. What? So that song, Back to December, is that based on him?
Yeah.
Was it a bad song?
No, it's basically like if she could go back to December, she'd go back because she screwed up. She shouldn't have ever left him. He was like the real soulmate, the real deal, but she fucked up.
Listen to these lyrics. Listen to this. I'm so glad you made time to see me. How's life? Tell me. How's your family? I haven't seen them in a while. You've been good, busier than ever. We small talk, work in the weather. Your guard is up, and I know why. Because the last time you saw me, is still burned in the back of your mind. You gave me roses, and I left them there to die.
Yeah.
Look, bitch, you dumped him.
Yeah, but then she regretted it. Then she was like, damn it, I messed up. And then she went back and he was like, no.
Yeah. So this is me swallowing my pride, standing in front of you saying I'm sorry for that night, and I go back to December all the time.
Yeah.
She fucked up.
She made a mistake. That was the one that she let get away.
See, that's what happens. That's what happened. That's really too bad because he seemed like a nice guy. I don't know his kid. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'm sure he's a great guy. He played a werewolf. Yeah. How can you not be a nice guy if you don't play a werewolf? He played a werewolf.
Yeah. Those are great movies.
There are one. Did I tell you one day that I watched over a weekend? I watched all five or four or however many movies there were. Oh my gosh, it was so bad.
Oh God, I probably do that once every 2 years. They're like some of my favorite movies. I'm not going to lie. Like, I cheesed out on those. I love them. I love the like romance and the like bit of like this like weird underworld. I don't know. I freaking love Twilight.
Were you team werewolf or team vampire?
Always team vampire.
First of all, who's the chick that played Bella?
God,
anyway, the most homely looking chick in any movie always looked like she was coming down from crack or something.
She just looked like she was like in pain all the time.
I know. It looked like she was constipated. Like she had to take a big shit all the time.
Yeah. She was just struggling.
She was just prairie dogging it all day and it just wouldn't leave.
And she's always like that. All of her roles that she's ever, like I've seen her in, she plays very similar. Like affect or whatever you call it.
Yeah, there was a really good cheesy sci-fi movie. It was pretty good. She was, you know, in some submarine, naturally a catastrophe, and then this big Leviathan underwater creature type thing. But anyway, but she had the same Bella look from Twilight.
Yeah.
Constipation mixed with confusion. How do you pull that off?
She does it really well.
Yeah. Well, that's all I got. I got to let you go because the cats are going crazy. But I want to thank you for all the time.
All right. You have a great day. I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Nikki. Conversations with Mario. The first one in a number of years. Open format. We chat about everything. In nothing at all. Let me highlight a few things. Highlight number one. There has been some concern among the Swifties. Those are the fans of Taylor Swift, Swifties. That she won't make it back in time from her concert in Tokyo to see her boyfriend play in the Super Bowl. But as you heard, and I'll repeat, if she leaves right after the concert, she'll make it with plenty of time to spare. And again, I'm certain she has enough handlers to give her shots of B12, facials, hair. My guess is she's just going to probably take something and sleep most of the way home. She'll probably get on the plane, maybe post-concert shower, go to sleep, wake her up with about 2 hours to land, take another wake-up shower, then they'll put her hair together and she'll show up in a jeans and a sweatshirt and a baseball cap. I don't know what she's going to wear, but I'm just... I was surprised she dated Tom Hiddleston. He, most memorable role, I guess, would be Loki from... Right, that's right. Tom Hiddleston and Loki. Yeah, same dude. Same dude, I think. I don't know. Could be. Might be somebody different. I don't know. From our friends over at Phantoms and Monsters, late last month, January 27th, 2024, from the great state of Minnesota, Minnesota Boy Scouts experienced tremendous roars and rock throwing. The story I'm going to relate goes back to 1975. Of course it does. Of course it does. 49 years ago, I'm like 10 years old. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was a scoutmaster, which means he trained Eagle Scouts. So he and a junior scoutmaster would take between 8 to 10 kids out in the woods for survival camping skills. I was known as Little Sherpa, which means I would carry my grandfather's camping gear in a duffel bag. We hiked up the Spirit River Nature Area in Minnesota. It was about a 5-mile hike. When we got there, we were all exhausted. The Eagle Scouts-to-be would take their survival gear, which consisted of a canteen of water, a knife, a flint knife for fire starting, and a compass. They were dispatched in several directions in order to walk approximately a quarter of a mile from the main campsite. Once gone, my grandfather and the junior scoutmaster began to smoke dope. I'm kidding. Once gone, they began having a conversation talking about this and that, when suddenly there was a tremendous roaring scream that came from somewhere. Came from somewhere away from where we were. The sound was, I don't know, penetrating. Somehow it seemed to come from all around us. My grandfather was a World War II vet and also an all-around tough guy, but whatever this was, I could tell it scared him. Even at 8 years old, I knew this was something unusual. Well, I thought he was 10. Said I'm like 10 years old. Now he says he's 8 years old. This guy can't keep his story straight. It reminds me of the story we heard last week from Sasquatch Chronicles, where the former Marine and he and his two or three other buddies and, I don't know, 36 scouts and 47 staff, they had to protect him from, I don't know, the roars in the woods. That was the biggest, that was a pretty big BS story. Suddenly, from what seemed to be in all directions, these young Eagle Scouts-to-be came running back into the camp, white-faced and generally freaked out. My grandfather decided that we should all stay in the main camp that night, and things died down for a moment or two, just kids talking wild stories, etc. Suddenly, a shower of rocks and twigs and branches began to shower our general campsite. My grandfather picked up one of those old-school flashlights that he had carried with him. It must have had 8 batteries in it, read a newspaper on the moon kind of thing, and began shining it in the general force all around us. The junior scoutmaster joined in with his flashlight as well, but saw absolutely nothing. I don't remember it being an awfully quiet night after all. Dead quiet. What I would imagine to be around 2 o'clock in the morning, we were all startled awake by this guttural scream that seemed to pass through us like the concussion of a large firework. We did not get any sleep the rest of the night. And although this was supposed to be a 3-day camping trip, it ended the next morning. And yes, all the Eagle Scouts were given their credits for the survival camp. I don't believe any of this story. Again, why do people give such general information about something that happened 49 years ago, 1975? Well, the guy's not quite sure if he's 10 or if he's 8. Well, simple math says, if the year was 1975 and you were born in 1964, you could say, okay, I was about 10. But if you were actually 8, then you're born, what, 66, 67? Again, I get it. There are a group of people that love these kind of stories, whether it's forest people, things that happened decades ago. It's always interesting. Hey, follow me on X and do this and do that, and blah, 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 all this great, great hokey pokey stuff. But again, I don't know. It's just some of these people and their stories. It's just unbelievable. Is there any update on Vincent Kennedy McMahon and what that MF-er is up to? Whether he's going to jail, whether he's, I don't know. But Eric Bischoff, if you know anything about wrestling, has pretty much said that McMahon's legacy is ruined. What's even more difficult is Paul, how do you pronounce his last name? Levesque, goes by Triple H. He's legitimately in real life, and I believe has 3 children with Stephanie McMahon, who is the daughter of Vince McMahon. It's got to put him in a tough spot, man. I'm telling you. I mean, Vince has been accused of just heinous things. I mean, just not good at all, man. Not good at if you want to like know the whole story with some back commentary, Jim Cornette is just an encyclopedia of wrestling. You can watch that whole entire little YouTube video if you want to. It's an hour long, and we're not going to play it here. But it's disturbing. It's disturbing. So what else is going on? Taxes this week. Got everything together. Got my appointment Wednesday, I believe. Hopefully I, you got that capital gains thing, but, I guess you always pay and the profit I made. So I got to figure out if, I got all the receipts and things saved to see if I can write off what, deduct what I put into it before I sold it, which, hopefully I can. And if I can't, well, then someone's going to get a talking to. Is it just me, or is Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer just kind of a dick? I mean, if we don't pass this border bill, U.S. will be sent to Eastern Europe in a few years. Another $60 billion to Ukraine was not passed. Good. Good. And unfortunately, most people are getting their news from Facebook, which is not a reputable news source. Quoted by Senator James Lankford, a Republican from Oklahoma, who essentially said, look, you got to read it. You got to go through it. Don't look at screen grabs or postings from Facebook or wherever you claim to get your news. You've got to read the whole thing. It's all publicly available information. Read it and then make up your mind. But unfortunately, most people are cognitive misers, which means they're, lazy. And instead of taking the long way around the block, they're going to cut through somebody's yard, which is laziness. Do your homework, folks. Just do your homeworks. This Sunday, Super Bowl viewers at home will reportedly see far fewer commercials promoting woke politics as advertisers try to avoid alienated consumers who are already being pummeled by record prices in Joe Biden's economy. In other words, don't expect a repeat of 84 Lumber's infamous border wall commercial or Budweiser's screened on immigration. Corporations are playing it safe this year, relying on humor and non-controversial celebrities, according to a Variety report. Life generally is more difficult for consumers. They are more constrained. Michelle Deegan, VP of U.S. Oriole Operations, part of the Mondelez International, told the outlet Oriole will have a commercial during Sunday's game starring Kris Jenner. I think you'll see those brands that lean into nostalgia, humor, emotion at the Super Bowl, then those brands will resonate with the consumer. Corporations are more risk-averse than ever when it comes to high-profiling marketing campaigns. Advertisers are very aware that things can go wrong at the Super Bowl. Tim Calkins, a professor of marketing at Northwestern University, Kellogg School of Management, who has studied Super Bowl commercials with the students for years, told Variety. Just so you want to know how much it's going to cost, a 30-second spot at this year's CBS broadcast costs about $7 million. Emma's and Mary, according to the Ad Age report. That is a 75% increase over the last 10 years. A lot of cash, kids. A lot of cash. Next hour, it is Sasquatch Chronicles. This week, episode 1028, Bamboo Eating Sasquatch. Josh will be the guest. My mom was a big fan of the podcast and suggested I share an encounter I had in Alabama back in 2012. So again, a decade ago, at that time we were living in Godson, Oklahoma, right by Nokalula Falls. The story probably gets deeper and deeper and deeper and more interesting. Until then, get up, stretch your legs. When you come back, commercial break will be playing. Head over to revolution.radio, common spelling in your favorite internet browser. Click on the donations tab. Remember, we are 100% listener supported. We are on the air 24 hours a day because of your generosity. Revolution.radio donations tab will list all the ways you can support this AM workhorse. Thanks for listening. Back after this, Sasquatch Chronicles next.
If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays? For Voices on the Wind, with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world. The best program on the radio for kids, dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out. Up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the Secret Kindergarten. Saturdays, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Right here on Revolution Radio.
Interrupt your normally scheduled programming to bring you this important broadcasting announcement.
Now is the time to explore your greatest potential, embracing truth, health, and wellness while discarding the system and exposing its corruption. Experience true freedom every Saturday night between 6 and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live from Studio B. It's the Jonathan Wright Show.
Find it right here at revolution.radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Roux Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
All right, folks, as promised, Sasquatch Chronicles from our buddy Wes over at SasquatchChronicles.com. This week's edition, episode 1028, from February 3rd, 2024, Bamboo-Eating Sasquatch. Apparently, Josh, this happened back in 2012. They're living in Alabama, right near some water. Every day he'd get home from school, he'd go to the backyard to let his dog out, and I guess things started happening. I don't know. We may or may not pause this throughout it and have a witty commentary, but there's the link in the chat room for the full episode. So without further ado, let's listen to the, once again, crack interview skills of Sasquatch Chronicles. I can't help myself.
It looked like somebody was bent over and had their head in the window of the deer blind, and it either heard me or smelt me, and he pulled his head out of the tent and stood straight up, and that shocked me. They don't make people that big.
The way it moved, almost as if it was gliding across the beach. I've never seen anything move like that in my life. They were screaming at each other in gibberish. It sounded like a language, and they were chuntering away back and forth, back and forth, back and forward. I know what a bear looks like, and there is no way on this planet that what I saw were bears.
Jesus Christ,
you
better... Sir?
Dia.
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
Son of a bitch.
Whoa! Whoa! Hang on. We'll try it here.
It looked like somebody was bent over and had their head in the window of the deer blind, and it either heard me or smelt me, and he pulled his head out of the tent and stood straight up, and that shocked me. They don't make people that big.
The way it moved, almost as if it was gliding across the beach. I've never seen anything move like that in my life. They were screaming at each other in gibberish. It sounded like a language, and they were chuntering away back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I know know what a bear looks like, and there is no way on this planet that what I saw were bears.
What are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Karen, Dia!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him. Uh-oh.
Hey, this is Taylor from Ohio. Wanted to wish my dad, Rick, a very happy 65th birthday. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming, Sasquatch Chronicles.
Birthday, Rick, from a fellow Pisces. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Got a great show planned for you. We'll be chatting with Josh. And Josh grew up in Alabama, and back in 2012, he had this encounter on his property. He's 23 now, but it's a very fascinating account. It reminds me a lot of the William Rowe account from 1957. At least the creature was doing the same thing. But I'll let Josh go into it. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And if you get a chance, check out sasquatchchronicles.com. You can become a member and get additional shows. Let's jump into it tonight. I want to welcome Josh to the show. Josh, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. I appreciate it, and thanks for your time.
Yeah, and I appreciate your time as well, Josh. If you would, take me back to 2012 out there in Alabama, and just start from the beginning. What were you doing, and what happened? What did you end up seeing?
Yeah, you know, I'll start it off, too. I'll say that, I mean, I'm 23 right now, so this was, you know, I was 11 or 12 or so at the time, and you know, that was sort of one of the main concerns of like when I would tell this story was, of course, like, you know, some of the concerns like, oh, he's like this, he's just an overactive imagination and all that. But I think one of the unique things about this before I really get into telling it is that I didn't really have much of an interest in this sort of a thing until I had the experience, until I sort of saw that. And then I started to go into the research and sort of like delve into Bigfoot or Sasquatch and all that stuff. And so it wasn't like I had something to sort of build on to begin with to see this sort of thing. But so it was in Gadsden, Alabama. We were pretty close to Nakalula Falls, which has a campground around it. That's a pretty good size. And where our house was, it was in a neighborhood, but it wasn't, you know, you weren't like right next to your neighbors. There was a pretty good, like, couple hundred feet or so in between each other, and between each house, there was like a solid thicket that would sort of spread up and grow like more up into the mountain, that we were. And so you could get to some spots where it was, you know, fairly, remote and some pretty like solid growth. And the house that we had in particular had, for whatever reason, bamboo, and we called them elephant ears, like a big, you know, I don't know if you know what those are, but it was like a big leafy sort of plant thing around, and it was the only house in the area that really had it. And I, whenever I would come home from school, my, you know, little chore to do would be to go and get our dog from the run in the backyard and just get him into the house for the night. And I remember I went into the house, I put my bag down and all that, and I came out, and I go up this little side yard, because one of the side yards that we had was just a straight shot to the dog's run. You know, I would always go with that path. I remember I was, you know, just sort of looking down at my feet, just making sure that I wasn't going to trip on anything. And there was always, and it's kind of funny how the small details, I guess, sort of stand out in these sorts of moments. Because I remember that there was a sort of a flat rock that would sort of be like be a halfway mark between the front of the house and the backyard of the dog's run. And I got to that rock and I just happened to look up into the little thicket area in the side yard where that bamboo and all that was. And I saw, you know, sort of what I had said, like a large furry creature of some kind had like, was just sort of plucking stuff off of the bamboo and was eating it. It looked like, and the way that it had sort of turned, it was sort of like squatting and it almost was like it had a left arm sort of grabbing at a stalk and sort of pulled it forward. And it was using its right hand to pull stuff off. And, you know, I know it's not a bear because I could very clearly see that it had a thumb that it was like using to sort of pinch stuff and pull it off. And it didn't know that I was there until I think it sort of turned at one point too and just sort of saw me. And it was like mid bite of this little leaf. And we just sort of stopped and stared at each other for a few seconds. It felt like forever in that moment. And I mean, I didn't feel necessarily threatened by it other than I was just scared because I didn't know what this thing was. And I don't think that it necessarily, I think it maybe felt similarly because after we just sort of looked at each other for a moment, we just sprinted in opposite directions. And I remember like just sort of out the corner of my eye when I saw it or when I turned to run, I saw it sort of stand and run too. And it was the way that it had been squatting sort of rose to like a full height, which also sort of the size of it and the height that I kind of saw out the corner of my eye at that point. I will, not that I'm an expert or anything like that, but I of course don't think it was, you know, like a fully grown one just because when it sort of stood, it was of course bigger than me, but I wouldn't say that it's like one of those, you know, 7-8 foot tall ones that you would see, normally, you know what I'm, you know, kind of what I mean.
Yeah, it's not like you ran into King Kong.
Yeah, definitely not King Kong. Maybe Kong Jr. But yeah, so I mean, that was, and then like, I guess I forgot this part. Our dog was just going nuts in the run that day for whatever reason. And he wasn't really a barker normally. He had a big, like sort of barrel chest bark, but he wouldn't do it too often, you know, like if someone came up to the door and like would ring the doorbell, he'd like go off once and then that would pretty much be it. But this day he was just going off like repeatedly. And then that was, you know, I was going up that side yard to go get him. And then that's when I saw it. And then I sprinted back inside of the house and my mom was, I mean, it was obvious that I was shaken up to the point that she wholeheartedly believes that I saw something. You know, because like I was a pretty, you know, like, I don't know, good kid. I don't know. I wouldn't make up stories or things like that. And the way that like I had sort of reacted to it, like I was obvious that I was shaken in that moment. So she's been, you know, always has believed me and all that. And she's actually had recommended me to sort of try and, you know, just throw the story out to you, actually. And so here we are.
Yeah, well, I appreciate Mom sending you my way for sure. And the account reminds me a lot of the William Rowe encounter I was talking about there in the beginning. Very similar thing happened to him back in 57. He stumbles upon this creature, and it's eating leaves, and it doesn't see him at first. And he's sitting there watching it, and it's grabbing the branch and eating leaves off a tree. They make eye contact. Basically, it gets up, and it takes off. And a little bit more to his encounter, he had a gun and thought about shooting it. But the whole account is fascinating, especially its behavior. And then, you know, you hear your dog barking. Dog's going absolutely nuts. You walk out there to find out what in the world is the dog barking at. and you stumble upon this thing eating these leaves, how far away from you was the creature?
Oh, it was, we were very close. Maybe a yard or two from each other. Like it was, and I mean, that's another thing too. Like I kind of know that it didn't necessarily mean harm because of how close I was to it. If it had wanted to, like, or if it had been a bear or something along those lines, like it would have been tough to get away from it from how close I was.
Yeah, that is, that's too close. That's really, really close. Was it kind of in the open or was it kind of in the bushes eating?
So the way that the side yard was, there was almost like a divot of some kind that would sort of go up. It was almost like a clearing at the line of the thicket or the side yard that stuff would sort of grow out and we would trim it back every now and then. And so it was sort of like, but if you looked at, like, you couldn't see really from the road with how it sort of grew outwards. It's almost like a, sort of looked like a C almost, like a, just a reverse C, like sort of grew into it, like an indention, but it would sort of grow back around on the other side and it could cover up that angle from the road. And so it was sort of in that area. So it was hidden, but also was sort of bigger than that, everything else around it. So I don't know if he was necessarily hiding very well. And then that, those side yards on the other side, we had like a little creek that ran up that would get a little runoff every now and then from the higher elevation and all that. So both sides are fairly lush depending on the time of year.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I mean, he was hidden, but it's not like he was trying that hard to be hidden. And I want to talk about what happened later after this encounter, because it didn't quite end here. But I want to ask you, when you were looking at this thing, would you kind of describe what you saw that day?
Yeah. But I think I remember it had, you know, like big sort of lanky arms almost that I could really see one sort of pulling that branch down. I didn't realize it until it sort of stood up and ran, but it was, it had like bent knees that it was sort of squatting down. I saw the thumb, like sort of, and I don't know why, I guess that's just the thing that always stuck out to me was that I saw a thumb that go up and sort of like pinch to pull it off. I saw, you know, fingers pretty, this one seemed like it had some fairly like long, shaggy sort of fur in spots. The face, it didn't have like a snout like a bear or anything like that would. It looked fairly flat, but also sort of from what I saw, it had some fur sort of like coming up to the face, and it was sort of longer in parts, sort of obscured it a little bit at times. Then I also remember that it had, you know, like sort of looking at things nowadays, I can be like, oh, okay, like I sort of see, or like I can make a connection. It had almost more like an, you know, like an ape-like sort of lips and things like that, that I, you know, I caught it sort of mid-bite on this leaf that it sort of saw, or so I could kind of see those clearly. This one was really dark fur, like black. It really felt, or it really seemed like it was just a solid sort of black color.
Yeah, and you're really, really close to this thing. When you were looking at it, did it remind you more of a human, or did it remind you more of like a non-human primate, like a gorilla or something like that?
I think when I first saw it sort of squatting, I thought it was a more ape-like. And then when I saw it sort of stand and move, it sort of seemed almost like a blend of the two. Like it seemed like it had longer legs than what, you know, a gorilla or something would. And I mean, I tell people, you know, I either saw Bigfoot or I saw a gorilla, and you can tell me which is more likely to be seen in Alabama. So,
yeah, it almost seems more crazy to say that you saw a gorilla in your yard eating leaves out there in Colorado than actually seeing a Sasquatch. I know this wasn't the end of this incident, this encounter. Another incident happened, and I wanted to ask you, how much later did this happen? And if you would, just take your time and walk me into what happened.
Yeah, I think that this was, this happened fairly, not too long after, I think, where, like, I was asleep in my bedroom, and I had above my bed frame, like, where my, like, pillows and all that were, I had a window that would be right above that. And I woke up at one point in the middle of the night, which was a little weird. Like, I wouldn't normally, I was a pretty sound sleeper, you know, and I still am. I sleep through a lot of alarms, unfortunately. But, you know, and I remember, like, looking up into this window, which that window looked out over into the side yard that I saw or I had my encounter. So it would have been right at sort of where that rock was that I sort of said would be halfway between. That window would have looked out right over that. So it would have really been just a direct line right to where I saw the thing. It was a fairly high window, especially from the interior. From the exterior, it was pretty high too. And the way that sort of side yard was, there was almost like a little divot too. So if you wanted to get like right up into the window from the outside, you would either have to stand a good bit back and sort of lean across the little divot or ditch to look into it, or you'd have to be a pretty tall individual to just stand in that ditch and look up. And I remember I was looking up into the window, and there was this just really weird sort of shape in it, and I couldn't place it until all of a sudden, and I was looking at it sort of upside down, and I was like, I think that's a face. And I realized that something was looking in at me. And then it sort of moved away. And I think at that point, I was freaked out. I like threw, you know, the blankets over the head and just kind of hid for a little bit. And that one is definitely sort of the freakier of those encounters. Because, God, that was, I think that the worst thing was that it took me a second to realize it. And we sort of.
This guy sounds like he's trying so hard to remember all the points of this story that he's having a difficult time remembering all the points of the story and keeping his story in line. This is not the way that somebody who retells a story tells a story. There are two types of people on this program. They either do what this dude is doing, or they do what the dude last week, and it is over the top, predator, RIP Carl Weathers, predator, high testosterone filled Marines, getting there and kick ass. I got all this training. Oh, but I forgot my flashlight. Like one of the basic items to bring when you're camping in the woods, how he forgot a flashlight. Again, this is what I mean. And I know I harp on this a lot, but it's disrespectful to the people who actually, how do I want to say this? It's actually disrespectful to people like me who say, look, I'm not saying I don't believe in Bigfoot. I'm saying I don't believe in the evidence you've brought to me. So it's disrespectful to people like me who say, look, show me some legitimate evidence. And you don't. You bring these stories that have been manufactured from other stories passed on from generation to generation. As the story goes, hypothetically, a woman's baking a turkey and she cuts off the legs. And the daughter asks, Mom, why do you do that? Well, because Grandma did that. You go ask Grandma, Grandma, why do you cut off the legs of the turkey? Well, because great-grandma did that. Go ask great-grandma, great-grandma, why did you cut off the legs of the turkey? Well, because great-great-grandma does that. And if great-great-grandma happens to be alive, you go, why did you do that? Because it was the only way it would fit into the pan that I had. Nobody bothers to find out what the real reason was. Lazy people. I'm sure this dude saw something. But to immediately jump to Bigfoot. Ugh. Lazy.
I guess in that moment we're looking at each other. And I think that once it, and I think that they're connected. I think once it sort of realized that I was looking up at it was when it sort of like moved away. And that one, I was able to sort of see more of like the face in that one. Once I sort of realized what I was looking at, the eyes almost sort of seemed to be, I guess, recessed into its face. And I remember seeing like sort of like dark sort of rings around the eyes. Maybe, I guess, sort of as a result of that. But the fur or anything around it wasn't really obscuring the face as much as it was for the first one that I saw. And that was just so bizarre. And I mean, still, like, when I sort of talk about it and sort of remember like how I was feeling in that moment, like, that's still something that kind of wigs you out a little bit. Because the other story I kind of like to tell, because I think that was a fairly neat experience. I didn't really feel threatened, but that one felt more, you know, unnerving, I'll say. Just with how, and so, you know, I don't know if it was, maybe if the first one I saw was like a young one, and then the second one sort of looking in the window was an older one that had come by to like sort of check things out, or, you know, just make sure everything was okay for it. But it was, that one was definitely a different feeling encounter, I guess.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I wanted to ask you. So you don't think that the one that actually you saw eating the bamboo leaves and the one that came up to your window was the same creature?
No, I don't think so. Because I remember, like, I can see more of that one in the window's face than the other one. It from how it sort of would have had to have been standing up against the house to sort of look in the window, it would have had to have been a little bit taller, I think, than the other one. But yeah, I don't think that they were the same.
Yeah, you had mentioned being kind of uncomfortable in this situation, and you kind of described the face, you know, and the recessed eyes. What was it about the face that made you so uncomfortable, obviously, besides the creature at your window? But what was it in particular about the face?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed vaguely human. I remember this, like, the face looked pretty pale, but it wasn't exactly like a human, like a pale human. It almost seemed like a sort of a grayish tone to the face, and then the eyes. And those are sort of the things that really stick out to me from that. I do remember sort of seeing like a darker outline around that face. So I guess that would be probably the fur or something around that. But then it just sort of took a moment for it to really click what I was looking at with how I was sort of situated under the window. I don't know that it was really like sort of, it wasn't like pushing its face up against the window, you know, like it wasn't leaving a mark or anything like that. But it just really felt like it was just sort of looking down. I think I remember, you know, I can't really remember much about its mouth or anything like that. The biggest thing I really stick out of those eyes. Because it was kind of one of those things where, like, I was looking at it, like, right into its eyes before I really realized that it was its eyes. Maybe, like, the eyes almost sort of narrowing. And sort of, like, that was when I saw some sort of movement to its face is when I realized that that's what it was. It was like it was like sort of trying to look in, like it was really trying harder, like almost a squint or something, maybe. I don't know that I necessarily remember like a brow furrowing or if it looked angry or anything like that. I think, or maybe I just hope at least that it was more curious than anything else.
Your window, and I've heard accounts like this many times from other eyewitnesses. And, you know, when you hear stuff like this, because it wasn't the one that you originally saw, there has to be some sort of communication. It had to have gone back and said, hey, I ran into, you know, I was eating bamboo and I ran into that kid. There has to be some sort of communication going on between them.
Yeah, I mean, like, surely there is some sort of, you know, way that they can communicate or sort of, you know, like, this is a good place to go for, hey, there is bamboo here or there's interesting things here, and all that, just because, and that house had a bunch of, you know, sort of strange things to it too. I mean, and it was sort of unique that it had that bamboo. It was definitely interesting. And I mean, that was obviously a moment that sticks with you, and I've been fascinated by it, or by, you know, Bigfoot or Sasquatches or, you know, whatever you want to call them since then.
Yeah, moments like this will definitely stay with you the rest of your life. And you're pretty young when this happened. Around this property, was there anything else odd or strange going on?
Well, actually, I mean, yeah, not necessarily.
Oh, of course, Wes. There's always something odd or strange going on when there's Bigfoots. I mean, these are transdimensional creatures. I bet there's going to be something about orbs, lights. Old Man Johnson heard something. Mothman. I really didn't know what these things were until I started looking online, doing my research on YouTube videos. Because, you know, that's a beacon of information. It's going to be something. I shit you not. It's going to be something. Can't wait.
Related to that, there was another incident where, I mean, I was in that bedroom again. That bedroom was sort of at a corner of the house. And on one wall was my bed, and that was where the that window was that I saw the face. But on the other side, or sort of on a wall connecting to that one, was just the back of the house. And I had a couple of like really long, sort of narrow windows going up and going, looking out into the backyard. And I remember seeing, again, one night.
I don't know what this dude's talking about. My bedroom is kind of in the corner. I got a window and then a back wall, which is the back of the house. And that has basically piano type windows. How is this not the corner of the house? Your bedroom is the corner of the house. Windows face the back of the yard. Some windows face the other side of the yard. Let's say some windows face south, other windows face east, depending on how your house is situated.
Like a white sort of figure just sprint across the backyard. And I couldn't really catch it for too long. And I, of course, wasn't going to go out and look at it. I wasn't that brave, and I'm probably still not now.
You didn't see a white figure sprint across the back of your yard. Why didn't you go out there? And where are your parents? Aren't your parents at home? And you got a dog. Isn't your dog reacting?
To go out there and try and go figure out whatever it was at, you know, 2 a.m. or whenever it was that I saw it. But it was that, you know, that was just a really freaky experience too. And I think that those would have been around the same time, but this figure, you know, seemed more like a much more humanoid than the other two. I don't, you know, really know what to explain about that. My parents sort of said that maybe it was,
I mean, perhaps some dude just ran across your backyard.
It was, you know, someone trying to go and get into the pool or something in the backyard at late at night, because we had one and all that. But it was I want to say that it was more in like a November-y time or something like that, maybe. So it wouldn't really make much sense to get into the pool.
This was more in November-y time, maybe. What do you think? Maybe it was July or January time or Mayberry time, maybe. Unbelievable.
Cool. But then just to sort of make me feel better, I remember they put up they strung up like fishing line in the backyard to catch anyone if, you know, they did that, just sort of as a comfort. But I never really saw anything like that again back there.
Yeah, this figure that you saw, you mentioned it was white. Was it hair that you were seeing? You said it looked more human.
This one was really hard to see. The windows that I had weren't like huge to really get a whole view of the backyard. They were really pretty narrow. But I could see like the top half of this figure. I would say that it looked like a woman in sort of a long dress, maybe. But I mean, it was like, it seemed I wouldn't say it was fur, but you know, also I don't know what I would say it was exactly. Yeah, that was
okay. This is your answer. Was it fur? Maybe. I don't know. Let's move on with life. That's how you answer that question. That's how you answer it.
Like I said, like definitely more humanoid than anything else. And then, you know, like that area, you know, I sort of look back on it and I was sort of just because like when I sent you the email yesterday, I was sort of trying to figure out like, I was sort of like thinking through like, all right, like did I get everything, you know, like trying to go back and look at it. So I happened to look up Nakalula Falls again, and there was, it was called that because of a Native American tribe, I believe, and I'm probably going to get the story wrong. It's a very interesting story. It's a nice area, all that, but where a princess had been promised to a sort of an arranged marriage, but she didn't want to go through with it. And she loved someone else instead, but was told she couldn't marry him. And so on the day sort of the ceremony.
I guarantee you this story that he's going to relay is old as the is one of a thousand identical stories. And she's probably the ghost in the backyard.
Money. She leapt off of a waterfall, and that was sort of how it got its name. There's a statue to her and all that there. And so it's, I think, an area that has some Native American history to it, which the entire state of Alabama has a really rich history in that area. But it was all very, you know, and so that was, I don't know, something along those lines would have been for that one or what exactly. I don't know. Those were all just, I'm sorry, that didn't really make much sense. I sort of started going in a couple of different directions there, but.
Yeah, there's kind of a lore, kind of a history of people seeing a woman in white, what appears to be, you know, on a woman, either a white dress or something to that effect. And I didn't realize how common it was till a couple of years back, where there's a lot of places like that where people will see kind of a ghostly figure of a woman in white. And there's always a story behind it, kind of like the story that you're talking about with these falls.
I've heard stories too that a lot of times like Sasquatches or Bigfoot are sort of common in sort of Native American lore and folk tales and all that stuff. So
yeah, I wanted to ask you, do you think that thing that you saw that night wasn't related to Sasquatch, that it was more of an apparition, or do you think it was one of these things?
I mean, I don't necessarily know that it was related to the background. I would definitely say that the thing I saw that night sort of seemed more like a ghost or a spirit or something along those lines. Whereas the other two, I think, were more physical, if that makes sense. Like, I know for sure, I mean, the one that I was a couple of feet away from, that one was a living, breathing, it was touching the same trees and things that I could have gone to go touch if I didn't run in the other direction.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, Josh, do you think the creatures were living on the property, or do you think they were just passing through? Because did all of this weird activity just kind of stop?
Weird activity did stop. I think that the encounter in the window, I think that was the last one that happened. And I never really saw anything after that. But also, we only lived there about a year or so. Well, my mom and I moved in there for about a year or so. And that would have been about, I think, June of 2011 to, I think, June of 2012 or so. And so that was, so I never really saw them again. So but I'm not sure. It was a very interesting area. I don't know how much space they really would have needed to live or something there, but I could definitely imagine them sort of moving through, to other areas.
Yeah. And again, I know you're pretty young when this happened to you, and it really wasn't, you know, a scary encounter or a violent encounter. How did this affect you growing up?
You know, in all honesty, I thought that it was pretty cool. Like, you know, it was something that, you know, I mean, I'd tell a couple of friends or whatever, and, you know, most of the time they wouldn't believe me, or, you know, or I'm also the kind of person that when I tell someone a story like that, I'm a fairly trustworthy, honest person. And so they're like, oh, well, I mean, if he saw something like that, he wouldn't lie about it. And so, you know, I tell some friends and they'll believe me. You know, I remember I halfway jokingly got into an argument with a biology teacher in high school because I asked him about Bigfoot. He's like, oh, those aren't real. And I was like, oh, well, I saw one. And he was like, oh, no, you didn't. And so, you know, it's just stuff like that. I didn't really tell a whole lot of people, though. Like I said, very select friends or that one teacher that one time. But that was also just sort of the relationship that we had that, you know, we would sort of joke back and forth with each other and things. So it definitely also like spurred interest in this sort of a thing. You know, I watched the TV shows and I was, you know, some of them, I think, you know, like it's so different from my experience that I had. And, you know, there are obviously some ones that are just entirely fictional and all that. But, you know, it's definitely something that I've been interested in and it's been fun in a way. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but it's been nice to sort of get that interest and sort of follow along, I guess. The one in the window, that one definitely was more freaky. And I think that if that was the only one that I had, I would be definitely one. I don't know how many people I would tell about just that encounter. And I definitely wouldn't be as neutral or happy about having that sort of experience, I guess, as I am. That one was freaky. But the other one was just, you know, like we were just sort of both scared of each other. So, I mean, it was, you know, some common ground, I guess.
Yeah, and I can understand what you're saying. I mean, that the one where you walked up on it, it was just sitting there eating and kind of stopped and you guys looked at each other. Then it took off running. And, you know, it all depends on people's encounters. You know, people who have scary, aggressive encounters, their attitude is it's a monster. And, you know, that's the end of that. But there's a lot of accounts like this to where they don't quite get, you know, they aren't quite the killing machines that people think they are. They can be for sure. And there's plenty of accounts to back that up as well. I know on the first one, you got a really good look at.
I don't know what accounts Wes is talking about. Where has there been an account that Bigfoot has killed people? I mean, has anybody ever come forward and taken pictures of, you know, slash marks across their back or claw marks across their face because Bigfoot got pissed off and attacked them? Anyone? I haven't heard of anything.
Got it. You're up close and personal while it was eating, but that second one, I often wonder what the purpose of that is. What, you know, why come up and do that? Is it trying to make some sort of statement, or what, you know, why come back up to the window? Again, I've often wondered about it. It's communication. Did it go back and say, hey, you know, I saw that kid and he ran towards this home? And a lot of stuff makes you wonder, man. I ask everyone on the show, what do you think Sasquatch is? And there's no wrong answer because no one knows. But what are your thoughts? What do you think that these creatures are?
You know, I think that it's a creature. I think, you know, I've heard, you know, some people think like, oh, he's a spirit or something along those lines. And I'm not personally of that just because of how close I was to it. You know, like I saw an animal in front of me, one that in a lot of ways seemed, you know, to have some sort of intelligence that it could sort of like, you know, sort of pick at things in the way that it was. It almost seemed like, you know, kind of gathering in a sort of rudimentary way, I guess. So I definitely think that it's an animal of some kind. That's what I got, I think.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, Josh. And, you know, we can only base our opinions off of experiences. And it's like the Native Americans. Some Native American tribes, if you ask them, what is Sasquatch? They'll say, you know, it's a spirit being that when it's in our reality, it's very physical, but it's not from here. Some tribes will say it's an animal that, you know, we haven't caught up with.
Most tribes will say it's a tribe of people. It's the Forest Brother. And, you know, it's hard to really give anyone a hard time about that because, again, we form our opinions based on our experiences. Have you ever gone back to that property?
Not really. You know, we moved back to Birmingham not too long after, and that wasn't necessarily like a favorite period of my life, really. So I'm okay with not really going back too often. If the memory of a Bigfoot encounter is the one that sticks with me from then, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, man. And, you know, I know this was, you were pretty young when this happened, but I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show and share it. And I want to give your mom a shout out because she kind of steered you towards the show. And I just can't thank you enough for coming on the show, man. I really enjoyed chatting with you, Josh.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate you, you know, just letting me sort of tell my story and all that and sort of give an opportunity for that. It's been nice. You know, again, like I don't really tell too many people about this, but so it's nice to sort of get it off of the chest to some other people who have also had those sorts of experiences and things like that. So,
thanks again, Josh. And a listener sent me this piece of audio. I've heard it before. This piece of audio I'm going to play for you came out of the Shawnee National Forest in southern Illinois. And again, I don't know the complete story behind this vocal, but it got me thinking about episode 1026 with John when he was out there with those kids in Washington State. And John, I know you remember, if you'll comment in the section below, if this was closer to what you heard, let's take a listen.
Come on. No. 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 First of all, that literally sounds like it's 5 feet away. And you hear the dude say, you heard somebody walking, and then you hear oh my gosh, heavy breathing, whatever. It's just, no. That's a dude. That is a human voice. Yeah, no. No. That's just that cadence is the same walk pace at the beginning of the video.
Yeah, whoever recorded it, you know, kind of took their sweet time getting out of there.
Exactly.
After the first one. You would have heard me like sprinting on those rocks on my way out. But, you know, John had mentioned that it sounded more human-like, and it was more of just a, you know, roar, that sort of thing. And anyway, I thought I would play it for you guys, and I was kind of curious on John's opinion.
John has not commented.
That's it for
the
tonight,
yet.
Everyone. Join me back on Sunday. I have plenty of guests coming up on Sunday for the members.
Ooh.
And also, too, we might have a little chat about these weird crop circles that were showing up during World War II.
Oh, my gosh.
And the fifth column.
Stop.
I'll give you a little spoiler.
Stop.
The fifth column has to do with people already in countries. It's an old Civil War term.
Stop.
And basically, a general would show up with four columns of troops, mm-hmm. and the fifth column would actually already be within the city. And it kind of has a cool tie-in to some of those crop circles that were showing up.
All right, goodbye, Wes. Thank you. Thank you for another complete waste of everybody's time with whomever this person was. And I'm sorry. I can't help myself. I can't help but point out just plain craziness when I hear some of these people retell their stories that seem to contradict themselves over and over and over and over again. Let's unwind. interested in the chat room is the link. Completely copyright-free music. The channel is Lofty Girl. This is actually a nice, relaxing kind of background music to have. And maybe if you're cleaning, just kind of wandering around the house, maybe some light reading. It is it's very nice to listen to. As always, folks, thank you. That about wraps up another edition of the award-winning but yet to be nominated This, That, and the Other Heard every Monday and Thursday here in Revolution Radio. Located at revolution.radio, common spelling, and your favorite internet browser. I will talk with you again this Thursday. Looks like there's some interesting things occurring in California. Flippy posts, ocean looks like muddy river. Situational updates. These real-life encounters of something in the viewer saw and recorded was unable to identify. I don't know what that means. But it could be interesting. Do we have a chance to quickly look at this? What is it? What are they seeing in the river? I don't got time for you. Listen, if you're going to create a YouTube channel, don't have these very long, elaborate introductions. And yes, we know. Like and subscribe. Top of that music, folks. Talk with you Thursday in the words of Kitty Kirk and Nightingale.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is the People.